The head of the Office of Management and Budget, Sylvia Matthews-Burwell, has a tough road ahead if she's lucky enough to be confirmed as the next Health and Human Services Secretary. President Barack Obama tapped her last week to replace Kathleen Sebelius. Burwell will go from the small inside the White House agency to a sprawling institution that, with Obamacare, is in the eye of the political storm. Elise Vebach is a staff writer at The Hill newspaper, and she says Burwell will face five big challenges. Hi, Elise.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Elise, you start your column with the number one, which is Survive 2014. What does Burwell have going in her favor?
Oh, going in her favor, her former colleagues in the Clinton administration have told me that she is just one of the best managers that they've ever seen, that she has enormous policy and political savvy, and that her skills can really translate across institutions, which, as you point out, is really going to be a big benefit to her as she takes the reins at HHS. It is such a complex and politically relevant institution, and if she were someone who was going to come in and have a six-month learning curve, I'm not sure that that would work very well, given that she really doesn't have a whole lot of time to get what she needs to get done for President Obama.
Well, OMB has a few hundred employees. There's 72,000 employees at HHS, and it spends approximately, well, most of what the government spends goes through HHS, if you count Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, you know, and, well, not Social Security, but there's well more than $1 trillion that's running through that place. So isn't this kind of a big step up for her, too?
It is a big step up. What people said is that she has a lot of experience managing enormous budgets from her time in the private sector. For example, she managed a budget of tens of billions of dollars in philanthropy money for the Gates Foundation. And so certainly she's a financing expert from her time at OMB, too. So she understands, at least in theory, how it all works at HHS. But it is such a huge institution. I mean, we think about Obamacare's rollout most of all as Washington journalists, but also Medicare, Medicaid, as you point out, the CDC, so public health, FDA, drug approvals, drug user fees, food safety. There are just so many functions that run through HHS, and so she's really going to have to decide how much she's interested in reforming, or will she be a secretary that kind of lets things run as they have run, with the exception of Obamacare, which is clearly why she was brought in, to continue a trend of stronger management after the botched rollout last fall.
What do you think might stump her this year if she is confirmed?
I think she will be confirmed, first of all, because thanks to filibuster reform, Democrats do have the votes to confirm her. That doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy couple of hearings for her when Congress returns from recess. We remember she was unanimously confirmed by the Senate for her post at OMB. She's someone that Republicans have actually been fairly friendly to. However, with the issue of the health care law at stake, they're going to want to translate their opposition through their votes. So I'm not sure we can expect a unanimous vote on the Senate floor. That said, I think that this in particular is going to be the toughest year for her. And the reason why is because it's an election year. And we know that the rollout of the health care law has been so politically relevant, and Republicans are going to make sure that it stays that way until November. And so there are a lot of issues that could stump her. For example, we do expect to see rising premiums on some of the exchanges in certain parts of the country. She and her department are going to have to deal with that, perhaps preemptively by pressuring state officials to reject some of those premium hikes. So that's an example where she's really going to have to build relationships at the state level very, very quickly if she wants to have that influence. The other thing we expect to see is another wave of cancellations of health plans, particularly on the small business market. And we remember what a problem that was for the Obama administration last fall. They were really stumped. And so she's going to be under pressure to kind of learn the lessons that the administration didn't last time. She's going to have to translate all of that and make sure that she's leading the rest of the department effectively at the same time.
We're speaking with Elise Vebach. She's a staff writer at The Hill newspaper. Isn't one big question how transparent the administration will let her be? If you look at some of the facts and shenanigans or machinations, if you will, regarding the health care, even for a supporter of it, it's difficult to know what is the nature and quality of the people that have signed up, if it really is 7 million. The the changes in enrollment, the 38 or so changes that have been made administratively in the law, how Medicaid and Medicare payments balance against the subsidies, all of that is pretty darn murky. And so even people supporting it would like to have this information. Will they let her unravel it and explain it to people?
It's a good question, and I think we'll see, based on the tact she takes, whether those decisions to basically make it murky were coming from Kathleen Sebelius or from higher up. You know, if they don't change, we can assume that those are coming directly from the White House. And certainly as a journalist covering this, as you point out, for supporters and opponents of the law, it's been extraordinarily difficult to get a lot of basic information out of the administration about enrollments. And it's basically started in kind of the terror that was last fall. For federal health officials, they operated in a bunker mode that basically has not stopped. And they are, you know, publishing monthly reports about enrollments. For example, we expect on Thursday to get the latest data through the end of March on the exchanges, which should confirm the 7.1 million figure, if not the 7.5 million figure. But as you point out, there are a lot of outstanding questions about who those enrollees are, have they paid, how many were previously uninsured. And so I think it'll be really interesting if we see the administration take a totally new approach to answering those questions. I think that we would be able to attribute that pretty quickly to the influence of Sylvia Burwell.
And tell us a little bit about her political chops, because if you compare her with Sebelius, who was governor of, you know, a purple state of Kansas, Sebelius had the bruises from past political fights, and she was able to address Congress and be sort of this heavyweight against those in Congress who really just don't like Obamacare. Does Burwell have any of that?
I think it is a good question. She has served in a variety of administrative roles in the White House. You know, during the Obama administration, obviously right now she's serving as White House budget director. In the Clinton administration, she was all over the place at the National Economic Council, at Treasury, in the White House itself. So she certainly is aware of how that institution works. And apparently she is just a very savvy player when it comes to keeping everybody happy and communicating well, which are issues that Sebelius had. We know that her communication with the White House was fairly frequent, fairly steady, but there were a lot of issues that were just not running up the chain of command, and they made themselves known very clearly on October 1st when healthcare.gov didn't work. So I think that Burwell may not have this kind of potent political standing that Sebelius came in with, but at the same time, I'm not sure that that's what the Obama administration wants right now. I think that Sebelius served well in many of the roles that a cabinet secretary has to do that are more of a kind of figurehead. She made a lot of speeches. She traveled around the country. She spoke to a variety of interest groups, and all of those are important, but I think at this point, what they really want is someone who will keep their head down and be focused on the management side.
I was going to ask, if we know that she's good at managing outward and upward, do you think she's good at managing downward, that is, at helping those beleaguered HHS employees who never asked for any of this but got caught up in the whole thing?
That's right. I think that'll be a major question. And people believe that she will go in with an eye toward, I don't want to sound too new agey here, but healing that institution, should we say, because certainly there are so many beleaguered, hardworking HHS employees who have been in the eye of the storm for months, who've worked very hard, and they are going to want to know that someone is coming in not blaming them, certainly.
So, yoga in the plaza at noon.
Right, exactly. I know. Maybe everybody would benefit from a little of that. I don't know. But certainly, I think Burwell, that is going to be one of her major challenges. She's never managed a staff this large before, and certainly will be watching very closely to see how she interacts with them.
And just briefly, in your column, you also mentioned that there are some deadlines, some new things that she's got to implement if she's confirmed in the next couple of years. What's coming up?
So a couple things for her. She is going to need to pursue Obamacare's expansion of Medicaid. That is something that Sebelius actually did get a few gold stars for. She was seen working with a lot of Republican opponents of the health care law to help them pursue the Medicaid expansion in alternative ways in their states. And Sebelius was praised as being very open and very good at handling those tricky relationships. So that's something Burwell will have to do. But in 2015 and 2016, there's a lot coming up, actually. 2015 will be the first first year where the penalties under the individual mandate are actually taken out of people's tax returns. People are going to see those penalties for the first time next tax season. And that's going to be enormously confusing for consumers, many of whom didn't even know there was an individual mandate. And so she's going to need to deal with any public fallout from that. And then the next thing is the employer mandate, which we know will phase in starting next year if the current timetable holds. We never know. But certainly in 2015 and 2016, that's when businesses of various sizes are going to have to start offering health insurance, which is another major system to stand up in terms of the reporting requirements. So her work certainly isn't done, and it's much more than this year.
And before she goes to the Brookings Institution or the Council on Foreign Relations, do we have any indication that she plans to stay to the end of the administration?
Sebelius has suggested in public interviews that Burwell will. Whether she will, I think, really depends on how well it goes. I think it's likely she will stay. But again, she has not said that publicly. But when you think about the White House and their stake in all of this, I think it would be very difficult for them to go through yet another leadership changeover just in the next handful of years. We really don't have a ton of time before this administration leaves.
Elise Vivek is a staff writer for The Hill newspaper. Thanks so much for that insight.
Thank you very much.